lips of clay, Lord, and may I speak only those things that are from your throne of mercy, and something that would encourage your people, something that would, Lord, place our rightful position to where you desire us to be. And thank you for your blood, thank you for Holy Spirit that giving us access to your word. We thank you as we commit everything into your mighty hands in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Everybody say amen this morning. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So I would like to speak about the value of staying in our position. Amen. And the peril of one's negligence. Amen. You know, when the Lord called us, He has a place for us. He has designated us a role that we are going to play. Amen. And every time we are out of place, every time we do not faithfully do what we are supposed to, then we are in trouble. All right, and so we're going to use this scripture, and of course, there's a lot of things that have been spoken about David, and a lot of things have been preached about this subject. But somehow, the Lord is always giving us things, and if you're going to hear something that you have heard before, amen. That means we're just standing on the same track, amen. And you know, sometimes we hear things. First, it hits on top our head, amen. And later on, when we hear it again, it hits the head, amen. And when we hear that again, it hits the heart, amen. And so may the word of the Lord hits our heart this morning, amen. And so. Before we go further, I want to read the scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 18. And this is about the battle. And it said in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Amen. Now, I would like to say, use the word now, finally. Amen. Now, when you say finally, it is some kind of a conclusion. How many believes that we are already in the concluding time of this age? Amen. We are in the last part of the last age. Amen. We are already in the conclusion where everything is culminating. Everything is maturing. Amen. He said the worst thing are going on. Amen. Taking place in our age today. Amen. But I would all like also to say that as long as the worst thing happens, amen, the best in us, amen, are being placed. Amen. Now, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be stand against the wiles of the devil. Yeah. Amen. Now, the devil is an experienced creature. Right. He's been here deceiving people for 6,000 years. Yeah. Amen. And but his 6,000 years of experience deceiving people could not stand, amen, the wisdom of God, amen, that come from eternity. Amen. And it's the wisdom of God. It's the will of God. And He has opened His word, amen, for us to realize who we are and to find out the day and age we're living in and how we will be standing against the wiles of the devil today. Amen. You know, the devil is so deceptive and it's so rude, you know, that at times you don't realize, people don't even realize. Amen. The devil is already there. We'll go back to David later on. Now, he said, "Now, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, we are living again in this age where the wickedness has come into a place. And so this wickedness is in high places. And we are sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And this is the place where Satan wanted to be. Even back there, you know, when Lucifer was leading the worship, praising God and lifting up the Lord. And as the Lord steps His presence, amen, in the midst of these angels, in the midst of these cherubims, everybody was rejoicing and worshiping, amen, until Lucifer found himself in such a position, amen, and he desired, amen, and he was no longer contented in just leading songs, in just leading worshiping God, amen, but he wanted to be worshipped, amen. And so he said, I'm going to lift up my throne, I'm going to lift up myself, amen, above, amen. He wanted to be worshipped in the midst of God's congregation. Amen. And so he's no longer interested in those places, beer houses and worldly things. Amen. Because it's already his. Amen. He's spending less time now taking over of the denomination. It's already his. Amen. Although there's still some, amen, there's still people that Brother Branham said there are sincere people in there. And that's why we're working hard today, amen, to get them out of this system. Amen. So bring them to the truth that we are rejoicing, amen, in this day and age. Amen. So he wanted to be worshipped. He said that's his intention ever since. Amen. So now, he said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Yeah. Amen. Now, if there is a time that we need to be standing for the word, this is it. Yeah. Amen. There's no more time for backsliding. No more time for slowing down. No more time to relax. Yeah. Amen. We need to be always standing and standing for the word. Amen. And there are many compromising spirits out there. There are many challenging things out there. Amen. But let me tell you, as a servant of God this morning, remain standing in the word. Amen. Some have turned their backs already. Amen. People who show at the early stage, they were standing for this message, but now they have turned their backs already. Amen. But let me tell you, while these things are going on, the more it becomes thrilling, the more it becomes surprising, the more it becomes rewarding when we stand for the word. Glory. Amen. And so he said, amen, now stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Fiery darts. I'm not, I don't usually play that game, you know, that dart, but I know how there's a sharp needle, you know, that you have to throw. I don't know the rule about that, but there's something in that this scripture, it's being used, the fiery darts, yeah. Amen? And in that needle, in that hole, yeah. Amen? And Satan is good in playing darts. Because he can target even the slightest dot. That if in the slightest space, amen, that we give him, he can sneak into that hole. No matter how small it is. Amen, he can start with that little hole. And if he's able to sneak it inside, then later on he will take control. Amen. Remember, Satan is also spirit. Amen. A spirit can get inside that hole. Amen. So now, see. And it said, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Amen. You know what Brother Branham said in prayers? He said, you know, we can be overfed. We can be overworked. Amen. But we cannot be over in praying. This is the only thing that we can do always and cannot be over prayerful. Amen. So that's why he said, amen, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching. Amen. Watching. Meaning we should always be alert. Yes, sir. Because we are at war. We are in a battle front.
Yes, sir.
The prophet said, the moment we accept this message, we're already in the battle. Amen. And the moment we say amen to the word, and we stand for this message of the hour, we put on the armor of righteousness. And that armor of righteousness, you know, it's our uniform. You know, when you enlist in the army, amen, you're enlisted and you wear your uniform. And when you wear your uniform, amen, the bullet of the enemy is already, you know, it's like you put a circle and you are already the target of the enemy. Amen. Because you are identified with some kind of a power. That's your identification. Amen. When you start, the sisters, when they start to believe the message of the hour, and they start, you know, those hairs start to grow. Those dress, you know, start to come out. You're wearing that uniform. That's an outward expression of where we are standing. Amen. Now when men stand to stand for the message and stand for this word, and suddenly our feet, you know, before this is going in some directions, but now when we receive it, it's no longer with the previous directions that were, because we are identified to something. Because we're standing for His word. We're not ashamed of the message that we believe. Amen. When Brother Branham rebuked the spirit in his age, he said, now the problem with us, the problem with those people, amen, they could not go on because of the lackness, because of their sincerity. Amen. Of the sincerity of what they believe. People might believe, but if you lack sincerity, amen. Now, he said, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, I read the scriptures because in verse 1, we know that David and his kingdom were at war. Amen. It says, and it came to pass after the year was expired. So, meaning in the natural sense, amen, it was the end of the year. It has just ended. It has expired. Meaning they're going to face a new year. Amen. And if we to put up in this age, we are already, amen, the year has already expired. Amen. The prophet said we are already in the third Exodus.
Yes, sir.
Amen. In the first Exodus, amen, they moved from the natural land going to a natural land. Amen. In the second Exodus, it's of course they went into spiritual Exodus. Amen. The church ages is the second Exodus. And so at the end, now he said this is the third Exodus.
Yes.
This is a new age.
Yeah.
Amen. So if in this third Exodus, it says now we're no longer walking from natural land and going to another land.
Right.
Amen. In other words, we're not moving from one church to another. Amen. Our walk today, the prophet said that this is in this third Exodus, this is from the walk, from the spiritual baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Going into the millennium. Amen. And the great hereafter. Which is the great hereafter, which is eternity. Amen. So this walk, maybe you're walking naturally here on earth. We live like the rest, you know, this body needs, the rest of the world needs. Amen. But there is something in us. There is something in us. Something that God has quickened. Amen. And that quickening power has recognized, amen, the word of the hour. Amen. And we have identified ourselves into something. And in this walk, we are walking. Amen. And just like Enoch walked with God. Amen. Enoch walked with God and he had a testimony. Before his translation, he had the testimony that he pleased God. Now, this is the time we're not pleasing any man. We're pleasing God. Amen. You come here not just to be seen by your pastor. You come here because you're a pleasing God. Hallelujah. So this is a walk like Enoch walked. Enoch walked with God. Amen. And before his translation, he had a testimony that he pleased God. Amen. Now, we're walking here on earth, natural walk, but there is something in us. Amen. That is connected to something which is eternal. Amen. So just like when Enoch was walking and then suddenly God could not give him up. Amen. And so God took him into another dimension. And suddenly Enoch, amen, noticed something. Now this is a different thing. Amen. He's no longer walking on earth. And it is something eternal that he was walking and he was found not. It's the same thing with the bride today. Hallelujah. The people in this world will not realize. They will not notice. It is a secret catching away. Amen. Now, he said, in this generation, so you see, this is the expiration, and it came to pass after the years was expired. Amen. At the time, now listen, at the time when kings go forth to battle. Okay. Now, this is a different war. Normally, in a war, you know, in the war in Afghanistan, amen. Your president, your government send armies to Afghanistan, send armies to Vietnam, send armies to other countries where your military could be a help. All right? But your king, your president stays in the White House. He's directing and he's receiving reports from the military generals, from the advisors, but he stays in the palace. He stays in the White House. Amen? He receives report. He sends instruction. Alright? Now listen. In this war, this is the war when kings go forth to battle. Oh, this is a different war. Amen. David and his kingdom at the year when time, when the year was expired. Now this is a different war. This is not just a battle of military, but this is a battle of kings. Amen. So he said, at the year, amen, he said it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle. Amen. Amen. So the king joins his army. Amen. Oh, but something happened. At the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David, who was supposed to be with his army, tarried still in Jerusalem. He stayed. He sent his armies. And he was in the palace. But this is a different war. This is a war where even the king must fight.
Yes, sir. That's good.
And now if you're reading your Bible, you know the rest of the story. From verse 2. Amen? So because David was not in his rightful position, he was not supposed to be in his throne at that time. He should be in the battle. He should be fighting with his army. That's why even when his army were advancing, they could not get the king. They were just getting the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, just a small city. But they could not take over the whole kingdom. Because their king is not with them. Amen? So now David was out of place. He was still the king. But he was out in the battle. No, he was not in the battle. Amen? So he was not in the battle physically. Amen? But now he started to face his own battle. In verse 20, it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Amen. Maybe, you know, we know David was not a coward person. Even when he was young, he faced Goliath. Even when he was shepherding the sheep, he was not afraid of those wolves, those lions.
Right.
Amen? He's not afraid. But in that little moment where he relaxed, he tarried, he stayed. Amen. That fiery dart, that little space of time, Satan flooded. And his eyes, you know, he looked down and he saw the woman washing herself, and that was the beginning of David's fall. Amen. And then until Bathsheba, the woman, finished washing herself and, you know, turned off the lights, and then David could not see her anymore. That evening, David was supposed to relax, sleep a little bit, and probably the following day he will follow through and go to the battle, you know. But that night he was not able to sleep. He was so contained by that thing that he saw, and that remained in his mind. Amen?
Yes.
And that it was registered in his mind. Mm-hmm. And that morning, the following day, you know, a normal king would always ask, what's going on in the battle?
Right.
Are we winning? Do we still have enough weapons, food for our army? Amen. He will get some information, because he is a king who's responsible. He is concerned. Amen. About his soldiers' welfare. But the first question, he called his advisors and said, who do you think was that woman? Amen. And the people told him, oh, that woman, maybe, he inquired, maybe, oh, that woman might be Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah, the Hittite. So when it was mentioned, it's the wife of Uriah, and Uriah was his soldier, a faithful soldier. You know, he could have stopped right there. You know? Because Bathsheba is a married woman. But David did not stop there. He asked, you know, his army to get the woman and took her and eventually got pregnant.
Yeah.
Amen? And when Bathsheba got pregnant and it came to the knowledge of King David, then he had to do something.
Yeah.
Amen? Now remember now, David, because he was out of place.
Yeah.
David was now fighting his own battle. Now he is now doing some kind of remedy to correct the situation, to justify himself, to cover up in his own. Amen. Now that's one thing, when we go out of place, when we go out of our position, we are fighting our own battle. Amen. We feel we're alone in this battle. But if we are sure always that we are in our rightful position, we know Satan cannot touch us. Hallelujah. Amen. And so now David was fighting his own battle, and he had to do something to remedy, you know. And then he called Uriah. And then Uriah, amen. And when Uriah came, Uriah, you know, you've been tired, you know. You go home and sleep with your wife. You know. But look how loyal Uriah was. Amen. The following morning, King David saw Uriah. Oh, how come you're still here? Did you not visit your wife? You know? And said, how should I do that? Amen. Knowing my comrades were still fighting in the battle. And my king is here. Uriah was concerned over his king, but this king was not concerned over him. Amen. I cannot go and take pleasure and sleep with my wife, you know. And while my brethren, my comrades were fighting, they're wounded. Some of them are being killed.
Right.
I cannot do that, my king, and I cannot leave you here. So his first remedy did not work. And so eventually he planned a murder. Amen. He wrote a letter and sent that letter. And it was even Uriah who brought the letter to, and the content of the letter put Uriah in the fiercest battle. And when the battle is engaged, amen. Leave him to make sure that he died. He will die. And that happened, you know. But because David was not correcting his error. He was only trying to cover it up. He was trying to justify himself and remedy the situation. You know, something went out of David. Something went out of David. He remains the king. He remained powerful. He had everything. And yet, the joy was no longer there. Amen. So sometimes when we feel that the joy that we used to have is no longer there, it's the time to check. When it's Sunday morning and, you know, the usual joy that you have, you get excited, you know, it's Sunday again, you know, regardless whoever will preach, amen. And you know, but the joy is still there. And this joy, you know, creates an influence in the house. It's an atmosphere, amen. And it gives a tremendous impact to our kids, our children, amen, and to the people around us because of that joy. No matter what happens in our lives, amen, amen, the joy is still there. We're always excited, amen, to go to church and listen to the word. Amen, we're always going to the fellowship, reading the Bible, listening to the tapes and everything. There's always joy. And you know, you cannot cover those joys. Amen? So much joy could not be covered. It always come out. Amen? So, you see now, amen, suddenly, David felt that vacuum in his life. You know, he could pray, and it feels like his prayer is just, you know, bumping in the ceiling. Looks like God is no longer there to listen. Amen. So he got what he wanted, but there's no joy. Amen. Sometimes there are things that we desire, and it doesn't happen. But we realize and we believe that all things work together for good to them that love God. We can always say, praise the Lord anyhow. Amen. When we go to church, we can always still make a joyful noise because of that joy. Amen. And so now, amen, things have changed with David. Amen. And so, you see, let me read a statement here. In the message in the Ephesian church age, he said, the very name Ephesus has a strange compound meaning, aimed at and relaxed. The high aspirations of this age that had begun with the fullness of the Spirit, the depth of God, whereby they were aiming at the high calling of God, begin to give way to a less watchful attitude. A less ardent following of Jesus Christ begin to manifest itself as an omen that in the future ages, the physical vehicle called the church would sink to the awfulness of the depth of Satan. It had become relaxed and was drifting. Already the age was backsliding. It had left its first love. The tiny seed planted in that Ephesian age would one day grow in the spirit of error until all foul birds of the air would roost in its branches. So inoffensive to human reasoning would that little plant appear to that new Eve, which is the church, that again she would be deceived by Satan. The Ephesian age had presented to her the opportunity for God's best, and for a while she prevailed and then relaxed, and in that unguarded moment, Satan planted the seed of complete ruination. Yeah. Amen. David relaxed. Amen. And in another message, the prophet said, you know, some ministers recently, as I was talking on this manner about judgment fixing to strike this nation. Now judgment is striking this nation. And not this nation, but all over the world. Now they said, Brother Branham, God could not put punishment on this nation because of the sacredness of the nation. Our forefathers who were real gallant Christians, and at Plymouth Rock and so forth, he would remember that. You know, the prophet preached, you know, God is ready to strike judgment to this nation. And some refuted him. Some try to, it's not true, Brother Branham. God loves this nation. Because God knows how we started this nation. He said, remember that Plymouth Rock? You know, Christian leaders founded this nation. Amen. But he said, God loved Israel and said so in the Bible. And he never did say that he loved us in that way. That was his first love, was Israel. And yet, when Israel got out of the will of God, God poured out the judgments of heaven upon Israel. And we will not skip the judgments of God. Amen. And then, David was a man after God's own heart. And when David sinned before God, God made David reap for what he sowed. Amen. And we will never come short of that, whether it's individual, church, community, or a nation. God will require judgment of sin. Amen. God loved Israel. David was a man after God's own heart. But when they committed sin, God judged them. You're a predestinated son of God, but when you are out of place, amen, God will correct you. Amen. Nobody can get by with it. Amen. And so, now, you see, in this thing, because that's why this is the peril of being negligent of his role, of his position as a leader. He should be the example. He should be the one leading his army at that point. Because it's a kind of war. It's a different war. Because it's a war when kings go forth to battle. Amen. Now I believe that today, amen, the bride of Jesus Christ is in the battle. Amen. We are facing war from all directions. Amen. You see the spirit of Laodicea. Amen. Creeping in. Amen. And striking all churches. Amen. And once he get the chance, you know, and then ministers try, you know, start to let down the bars, and the standards are going down. You know, this is the age that we're living in, and ministers, preachers who are afraid that their congregation will leave them if they preach the truth. Amen. So they try to adjust and try to compromise. Amen. They try to preach what people want rather than preaching what people need. Hallelujah. And so that's why in this generation they could fill up the stadium. They could fill up, you know, domes of people rejoicing. But these are not real preachers. Amen. But mostly you can find that they're just motivators and preaching prosperity and playing up with the wants of the people. But to place the people in such a position that the word is leading them. Hallelujah. Only the message preacher can do that. Amen. And so, now even our the law today, even, you know, in the Philippines, our Congress, there is a congressman that have already presented, you know, the way that you have your Supreme Court that, you know, years back have approved the marriage of the same sex, you know. And so there's a congressman in the Philippines that already presented the same thing. And he was interviewed. You know how you think it could push through? You know how conservative the Filipino people are, and where this is a Catholic nation, and you know you think it will push through? And the congressman said, "Well, it happened in the United States." Amen. So writing laws. Amen. You know, there are schools that already removed praying inside the schools, the classrooms, you know, because they say if a Christian pray, you would offend the Muslim. You would offend somebody who does not believe Christianity, you know. You know, people today, they hate to see, they don't want to offend, but they're not afraid to offend the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The technology that we have today. Amen. That's why you see that's why our young people, you know, they really need the Holy Ghost. Because you see, today is just a click. Amen. The technology, the information, this is the information age. You get information, you get, you know, you punch the name of Brother William Marion Branham, and you get all kinds of, and, you know, You see good things, you see bad things.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And people can cater with that. And even sometimes people, you know, they feel something in their bodies and they're fighting some kind of sickness. And before they pray, they go to their computer and Google and type, you know, chest pain, you know, and they type chest pain and all the things that have something to do with chest pains, all the symptoms. And you know, before they stand up and leave Google, they feel more. Now it's no longer the pains that is aching now. Now I feel something here. I feel something here. You know? Where you can only fight with that when you kneel down and raise your hand and pray. Yeah. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, this thing will be casted out. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is the things that we are learning, the strange doctrines. Amen. You know, here, I believe, I don't know here in Arizona how many doctrines are going around. And you know, it's the same spirit all over the world. Amen. In the Philippines, you have two souls, you have two lords. Now today, there is 14 seals. Yeah. They said there is still a seals that on the backside, you know, that are not yet open, aside from the seven seals. Now there's other seals. My goodness. Huh. Amen. But we need to keep the balance of the word. Amen. I believe this message is so simple. Amen. And people try to complicate it so that they can inject something into it. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why there's a revelation. God has given us the spirit of discernment. Amen. And so the threat of the economic collapse and, you know, this world is falling apart. There's no hope. There's only one thing we're waiting for. And that's the body change. Amen. Hallelujah. And this World Council of Churches taking full control and wars and rumors of wars. Amen. And these disasters that are going on. Earthquakes after earthquake. Amen. After the eclipse, all these disasters come. And I don't know if the forest fire in California has stopped already. I don't know. Amen. So this is some kind of judgment. Amen. But we're not looking on these things. Amen. We're not saying we're happy these things are taking place. Amen. But I'm not happy that there's fire, there are people that are dying. I'm not happy with that. But I'm happy because now I can look up more. Amen. Because my redemption drove at night. Hallelujah. And then everything, even all these forms of battle are taking place. I know that something good is coming out of that. Hallelujah. And so now, the thing continued on. And so because, you see, if we're going to analyze it, that little hole, that little spot that David, amen, relax, something have taken. And Brother Branham said, it happened to an individual. It happened to a church, just like the church in history. It left its first love. Yes. Amen. So it can happen to a nation. It can happen to a community.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So, but God, because David was a man after God's own heart, God chose him before he knew he was to be a king. It was God who chose him. And so now, but see, amen, David was still human. Amen. And you know, sometimes we get out of place also. Sometimes we tend to relax. And that's why we need to keep on watching all the time. And you know, God has a way to correct the error. So David was trying to correct his own error, but that's not the way it should be. Amen? So it must be God. Because God has a way. And if we have, amen, went out of the way, we have to go back with God's way.
Yeah.
Amen. So we should always go back to God's provided way. And so now God, amen, had to do something. And what did he do? He sent a prophet.
Yeah.
He sent Nathan. Amen. He did that to the church. He sent a prophet in this generation to bring back the church, to restore the church back to her position. So, amen, it's the same thing. He sent prophet Nathan, amen, to David. And you know, Nathan was God's prophet, and so he had lots of wisdom. And so he approached David, and when he saw David, you know, I could imagine how David looked at that time.
Yeah.
You know? But Nathan was the true prophet of God.
Yes, sir, right.
And so he started saying a certain parable, you know, David, you know, one time he said that the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done thus, this thing, shall surely die.
Yeah.
Oh. You see, a man, when he is a backslider, he is easy to judge.
Yeah.
He's quick to judge.
Yeah.
Amen? You know, because he was trying to show Nathan that he remains righteous. Amen? And then Nathan looked at his eyes straight. And he said, David, you are the man. Amen. But you know, there's something that I appreciate, David. When he heard that to Nathan, you are the man. David stopped. Amen? And he knelt down and said, I transgressed the Lord. I offended God.
Yeah.
And that's why David was a man after God's own heart.
Yes.
And he confessed and he repented of his error.
Right.
You know, we make mistakes. We do things that if we are given the opportunity, we would not be doing things we should have done.
Right.
Amen. But God has a provided way.
Right.
And at times, no matter how big, how small, how serious we have offended God, how serious we have offended somebody,
yeah,
our brother, our sister,
right,
our pastor,
right,
our congregation.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. And the only answer for that to have it corrected is to confess,
right, yeah,
and repent.
Amen.
And say, Lord,
amen,
I'm sorry.
Right.
Brother, I'm sorry. Sister, I'm sorry. Amen. And it brings back the joy.
Right.
Hallelujah. You see, that's why, you know, David, you know, when he wrote that song, amen, he knew something was wrong. That's why he, during the night, you know, and he sang, because he didn't have the same joy he was enjoying before. And so he wrote that song, Restore to Me the Joy of thy salvation. He knew salvation's there, but there's no more joy. You know, it's hard to walk in this world without having this joy. The prophet said we should be the happiest people here on earth. Amen. So if that's what the prophet of God said, we should be the happiest people. And so in the morning, we wake up on the wrong side of the bed. We know that there's something wrong. Amen. If we have been doing things, we're happy doing that before, and now you're not longer happy, you don't have the same joy. You know, there's something that needs to be corrected. There's something to be prayed for. And ask God, Lord, what's wrong with me? Lord God, what have I to do? What should I do? Amen. To bring back that joy.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so this morning, if you don't have that joy, amen, search yourself. Have the Holy Spirit search our hearts, search our souls, and find out and rebuild, Lord God, bring that joy once again.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. And so, amen. And so he sung that song. Amen. And, you know, that's why in Psalm 51, he said to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. And that's why when we heard this message, amen, only, you know, before we're happy if we're being forgiven. But we're happiest when we saw the revelation of justification. Amen? That there's no more remembrance of our sins. As if we have not done it in the first place. That's why David said, blot out! Blot out! You know? Amen? There's no more remembrance! So when God has justified us, there's no more remembrance. Amen. God could not even remember what we have done before. And you know, God even removed that guilt in our hearts that we can walk with freedom. We can walk. We can have that full joy. We have access to His Word. We have access to His grace. And then we have access to His Holy Ghost. And so we can live with such joy. Hallelujah. Amen. And we can back to our feet. Amen. And praise the Lord. Hallelujah for His tender mercy. Amen. And so that's why, you know, sometimes, but you see, we see some people like David, like Paul. Amen. They did something wrong. Abraham, Moses, all these prophets. You see, because God has a way of correcting them. You know, when Moses, because of the hard-headed congregation that he had, amen, they were thirsty. Amen. And they keep on complaining. And they pressured Moses. And because of his ill temper. Yeah. Amen. Moses, instead of speaking to that rock, he hit that rock. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And by hitting that rock, which was Jesus, which was Christ, when he hit that rock, it offended God. Yeah, amen. Amen. You should not hit. You should speak. But you see, even though he heard that rock which was Christ, water came out still.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Sometimes we offend God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Sometimes, you know, we might not feel it, but you know, you have your favorite spots in your in the seats of this congregation.
Sure.
Right? Amen. So when your pastor look on this side, he's expecting somebody because he used to see people there. Right?
Right.
Amen. But you see, sometimes we offend God. Sometimes we hurt God.
Right.
But it's so inspiring that even Moses and those people hurt him.
Yeah.
There were still water that flew out of that rock. Amen. You come here, you don't have that joy. You come here, you're complaining, and then God keeps His Word flowing, satisfying our spiritual thirst. Isn't that God, amen, go so good with us? Amen. You know, sometimes when we are being hurt, we parents, when our children hurt us, no more allowance for this week. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes kids or children are being hurt and they show something to let their parents feel that they were being hurt. Amen? But ain't God good?
Amen.
And although at times we hurt Him, at times we offended Him. Amen? But still, His blessing, His grace, His love continue to flow. Amen. But even then, God does not want Moses to stay that way. Amen. And so, to correct the error, because Moses offended God. But God loved Moses so much. Amen. That even though he offended God, but God's love never diminished. Amen. And so, God has to do something. Something that would also hurt Moses. Amen. And Moses, when he led Israel out of Egypt, of course, in his heart, he was expecting he will lead them up to the promised land.
Yeah.
Amen. But one day it happened, you know, Moses, and God was dealing with Joshua. Amen. And Joshua had to lead the people.
Yeah.
Amen. And now you see, Moses went up to Mount Nebo. And how would you feel? Amen. That Moses, expecting to lead the people down, up to the promised land, now he was watching his people. He was watching the people of God. But you know, God has a purpose. Because Moses could not go on without correcting the error. God have that angel, the cherubim with the flaming sword to guard the tree of life. Because there must be an antidote for sin. Something has to be corrected first. Amen? And so Moses was watching the people of Israel, but God has something in mind. Amen? That Moses had to go back to the rock that he offended and confess and repent and correct his own error. But you see, God proved that he loved Moses and he had forgiven Moses. Because in Matthew chapter 17, we saw Moses and Elijah over there. Moses was able to make it. He crossed up to the promised land. Not just the natural land. Amen. But in that eternal land. Hallelujah. God picked him up. And the angels picked Moses. Amen. So rather than continuing with that error, with that sin. You know, we cannot walk as a bride of Jesus Christ, as a believer of this message, and then we are keeping something in our hearts, something, a sin that is being unconfessed. Amen. That little thing will remove joy. Amen. In our service with God. And when we may be continuously walking. Amen. But then we cannot feel that real joy in our hearts, because there is something that needs to be corrected. Something that needs to be confessed. Something that we need to be repenting on. Amen. Hallelujah. And that was what God did. Amen. To David. Amen. But you see, at the end of the day, you know, the son of David to Bathsheba, Uriah died. His son was so sick. And David was praying, nothing happened. Amen. But now, things have been corrected. His son, to Bathsheba, died. And the people were afraid. How could we tell this to the king? But to their surprise, you know, when David saw that his son died, you know, they were surprised, because David already worn his robe. Probably his battle gear. And then the people asked, how come, King David? Well, the Lord finally decided, you know, it's another day. Yeah. It's another day for David. The Lord gave, he will take it. Yeah. So it's God already correcting the error. Right. Amen. He took the life of that boy. But later on, we know what happened, that Bathsheba became the mother of Solomon. Right. Hallelujah. So it was God's making, no longer David. Because David was able to go back on track. Amen. And to prove that, you see now, amen, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 29 and 30, after all these things have happened, in verse 29, and David gathered all the people together and went to Rabbah and fought against it and took it. Amen. And he took their king's crown from off his head, the weight whereof was a talent of gold with the precious stones, and it was set on David's head, and he brought forth the spoil of the city in great abundance. Notice here, the battle took so short. When David went to war in verse 29, immediately he gathered all the people together and went to Rabbah and fought against it and took it. Amen? So that's why, if we're going to notice, 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, you know? And then from verse 2, or half of verse 1, up to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 28, comes the permissive will of the Lord. Yes. Because David relaxed, David stayed, instead of fighting the battle, he stayed. And so all this permissive will came in. Amen? So if only David went straight to the battle, problems did not happen. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, you know, Bathsheba became the mother of Solomon. And how could that be, Brother Danny? Well, God is absolute. You know, Uriah could have also died in the battle, but it should not be as David planned. You know, as you watch your president, our president, you know, when there's a war and you see all these widows of the killed military, you know, the flag is given to the widow, to their children, you know. It could have happened to David. That after the war, you know, and now here comes Bathsheba on the end of the line, you know. Who would tell that that should be the first? That could have been a love at first sight, you know. So, you see, something have happened in between. And so that's why all this permissive will have taken place. It's the same thing with our birth.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Our natural birth is not the perfect will of the Lord. It's the permissive will of God. Amen. Had, amen. Eve did not listen to the serpent, you know, we would not have been in this situation. Amen. But somehow, it is for God's glory. Now we can realize, thank God for His amazing grace. Thank God, you know, there's no way for me to correct the error. There's no way for me to make it back to the Lord. But praise God for His amazing grace. Thank God for His way. Thank God for the prophet. Thank God for the word. Amen. That He revealed Himself and revealed who I am. Amen. Glory. So you see now, and David, so, and he won, and all these things have happened. Amen. Because David was already in his rightful position. Amen. So you see, that's why when we are in our rightful position, God can do something for His own glory. Amen. And now let's move further than that. Now we see now in Revelation chapter 9, verse 11. Amen. We've got a little few more minutes and we're close now. Now in Revelation 9:11, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue had his name Apollyon, which means the destroyer. Yeah. But the thing is, in Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, they had a king over them. Amen?
Yeah.
And this king is the king of the bottomless pit. Amen? So now, in Revelation 10:1, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with the cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as clear as the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire.
Yeah.
In Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
Now, we know that somebody is present in this generation.
Yes, sir.
Amen? The bottomless pit has a king. The demons over there. Amen. And so when the book was open, when the seals were open, when the seals were loose, and the word is being revealed. Amen. You know, that opened up the gates of the doors of heaven. And also, something had happened that the gates of hell also opened. Amen. But God said, upon this rock, which is Revelation, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the gates of hell is wide open today. Amen. With this internet, with all these things, the gates of hell, you know, has opened so much. Amen. But praise God, amen, as the gates of hell opened up, the doors of heaven opened up for the sons of God. Amen. That we know what's going on. And we know we can win the battle because He had overcome already. But let me tell you this. This is the day when kings go forth to battle. That's why the king of the bottomless pit, hallelujah, amen, is just right here ready. Amen. But let me tell you, there is another king present today. Hallelujah. And He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And He's leading His bride. Amen. This is my battle, not your battle. Hallelujah. Stand behind me. Hallelujah. The King of Glory is here. The prophet has presented Him to the bride. Amen. And so now, these two kings are fighting. And we're behind their king. Amen. But the difference between David and the son of David, our Lord, our king, is not relaxed. He's always on the watch. Amen. He's always on guard. Amen. He keeps His people safe. Amen. And He said, I have overcome. And with that principle, we know that we cannot lose this battle. Hallelujah. No matter what kind of pressure, hallelujah, this world will bring. No matter what pressure the denominations will bring about. No matter what pressure the Judas has, amen, that are saying against this message. Amen. Today, we are not bothered because the king has rise. The king has stood for his army. Amen. And he has won every battle that he fought. Hallelujah. I remember, you know, in the message, you know, in the conference, Brother Branham said, you know, there was a conference in heaven. And you know, during the time when these young people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were in front of the king, Nebuchadnezzar. Hallelujah. When all those people bow their heads because of that image. But there were three young men that remained standing. And they were seen by the king. Bring those three young men. And they were threatened. There was fire behind them. Hitted 7 times. And there's an arrow right there at their throat. They had nowhere to go. Amen. And so, Brother Branham said, during that time, the archangels in heaven were having a conference with the king. And one of the archangels said, Lord, Gabriel, Amen, said, Lord, Amen, would you mind me, you know, getting down there? I cannot stand, you know, this kind of situation. These three young men stood for you. Right. Amen. And I can go down and wipe them out. Amen. And bring these three young men out of danger.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And the king said, thank you, Gabriel. I appreciate your concern over my people. But you're not the one. Amen. Sit down. Amen. And so Wormwood stood up. Amen. Lord, this is a fire. And remember, during the time of Moses, you know, or Noah, amen, I opened up all the springs, all the wells. And water came out of the earth, amen, and brought flood and killed all those unbelieving people. It's not you, Gabriel, it's me.
Right.
Amen. But the king said, appreciate your concern, Wormwood.
Yeah.
But this battle is not yours.
Yeah.
Amen. And so, Michael, the archangel, you know, amen. Am I the one, Lord? Amen. Not even you, Michael. So when they saw somebody, when they throw these three boys in the fire, the king said, aren't you afraid? And these three young men said, we're not afraid. Because our King, our Lord, our God is more than able to deliver us. He's more than able to deliver us out of this fire. Amen. And that's good to hear. That three young men could stand for what they believe and say, our God, our King, our Lord is more than able to deliver us out of this fire. But I wanted to share the other part of the statement when he said, but even, woo, amen, even if he will not deliver us, they say, even if we die of this fire, we will not bow. We will not bow. Hallelujah, even. Amen. Sometimes we give condition to God. Lord, you give this. Lord, you make me successful. Lord, you know, with all this, we give condition to God and say, we will serve you, Lord. Amen. I was sharing my experience with this couple, Brother Juan and Sister Suzanne, you know, when the Lord called me in the ministry. Amen. And, you know, I used to be a public school teacher and I had a good direction in my teaching profession. I was a master teacher during that time, and I was about to be promoted into the next level. But you see, amen, I was running from the ministry. I didn't want to be a minister. My wife was a pastor's daughter, her father was among the pioneers of the message in the Philippines. She grew up in the message, and you know, he said, "I'm so tired being a son of a pastor. All eyes are, you know, all the criticisms. We need to be good all the time, you know. And how much more? So how much more when I am a wife of a minister, you know?" So that's why we blend together. I didn't want to be a minister. She didn't want to marry a minister. And so we got married. Amen. But that's not the way God planned it. You know? And things have happened in our lives. A lot of things have happened. I had a son with a heart disease. He's a blue boy. And then we had the second child, a daughter, so beautiful, you know. And she got sick at 9 months old. And I said, "Lord, don't take my daughter, Lord. Because she's healthy and she might be taking care of her brother. Don't take her, Lord." But the Lord took her. "But I promise, Lord, if you're not going to take her, I am going to serve you. I'm giving God condition. So Lord, don't take her, please. My wife could not stand it." Amen. But God took my daughter. And so we were left with a blue baby boy, sickly. And then he had to go 3 major surgeries. When he was 3 years old, when he was 6 years old. But when we were in front of the surgery, operating room, I was holding, before I turned over my son to the surgeons, I prayed with my wife. I talked with my wife, you know. A lot of things have happened. Things are not going the way we're wanting it. We should now be sensitive. God is calling us. And so I would carry my son and said, "Lord, here is my son. Before I told you, don't take my daughter, I'm going to serve you. But said, Lord, now, here is my son. But let me tell you, Lord, whether you take him or not, whether you give him back to us or not, nothing can stop us. We will serve you no matter what." Hallelujah. And now my son is 27 years old. He's getting married next year.
Amen.
Things have changed. So this young man, he said, "God is more than able to deliver us from this fire. He's able to save us. But even if he does not do it, we will not bow."
Amen.
Amen. We will still believe God as our King. And God could not stand that kind of faith. Hallelujah. And God did not send his angels. He came down himself. Amen. Hallelujah. That when those people, those army, even the King. Hallelujah. Amen. Standing there, he saw the port man in the Peripernes. Hallelujah. That's the King of Kings. That's the King of Glory. Amen. He will be standing for us. Amen. So let me tell you, no matter what, keep standing for the message of the hour. Stay in your position. Hallelujah. Abraham said, if you're a wife, amen, be a good wife. Be a good husband. Hallelujah. Young people, you have visions, you have ambitions, but stay in the Word. Don't you never leave this message. We have no more time. Amen. The Bible of God said, amen, plan your life. If you want to plan 100 times or 100 years, 20 years. Amen. But live as if God is coming anytime. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Amen. And you just keep on praying for us. We will be praying for you. Amen. Thank God for the King. He is our King. Amen. And he's always staying in his position. Don't you never leave your position. Amen. God bless you, brother dog. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's a good time to be living. It's a good time to be serving the Lord. Amen. For the King is in the midst of the battle. He's not sitting back with his eye on somebody else. He's in the battle. Amen. And who will stand with him? Who will stand behind the King in this hour? Amen. And pull their sword and say, "Lord, whether or not you're with us, I'm going to fight. But we know he's with us." Amen. Let's stand this morning. Blessed be his wonderful name. There's no better place to be than in right where God wants you to be. Doesn't matter, you know, we get in our minds, well, I would be happier if I was rich, or I would be happier if I lived in the Swiss Alps, or the dunes of Yuma, or whatever it might be that appeals to you in the natural. But the best place for you to be is right where God ordained you to be. It's the happiest. You'll find your joy, your peace, your protection. What a wonderful thought this morning. Amen. And of course, we know that there's a great price that's paid if we're negligent, as our brother said. So I'm so thankful that we can know what our place is. Isn't that wonderful? And that we can know what other people's place is and what our King's place is in this hour. You know, it'd be one thing to know that you need to be in your place, but well, what is it, right? But it makes it so simple for us. Amen. In fact, that's the problem many times for us, is that it's so simple that we think, oh, that couldn't be it. It's got to be something more complicated. Not so. Amen? Amen. How many pray for our brother Danny and the church at home, the family, and the work that God has given them, the vision for the other side of the world, literally. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're so thankful that we were able to partake once again of the bread of life. We believe that we've heard directly from you this morning, Lord. Your word speaks to us, and it will not return into you void. Father, we could get up and have a seminar an intellectual type seminar, and where a man speaks and men hear, but Lord, we don't believe that that's what's taken place here this morning. We believe we've gathered together. We've not forsaken to assemble ourselves together. We know that the end time is here, and we've come to feed from your word. And you said that where two or more are gathered in your name, that's where you would be. Lord, we know that you're here. We know that we've heard the words of life this morning. We know that we've received them in a believing heart. And Lord, we know that those words will not return into you void, but they will accomplish what you sent them out to do. I pray that each and every one would be encouraged, Lord, as we search our hearts and search our lives, Lord, or allow your word to do that, as your word was doing and is doing, Lord, during this service, searching out our hearts. We don't know our own hearts, Lord, but the word is a searcher of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So thank you for searching our hearts out, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you give us the grace to surrender to the portion that's applicable to us this morning. I believe it's all applicable, Lord, but there may be a portion that you're dealing with a certain aspect of our lives, whatever it might be, because somehow, Lord, we don't know how you do it, but you supernaturally speak to people from all different levels and all different amounts of experience, whether they're just starting out or whether they're coming to the crowning of their walk here in this life. Somehow you speak to all of us in one setting, and Lord, we just thank you for that from the bottom of our hearts. And ask that you bless our brother, Lord, that you renew his strength, and we thank you, Lord, for sending him our way. And Father, we want to serve you better. We want to commit to standing behind our King, come what may, Lord, and without fear, Lord, knowing that as we stand, we have nothing to fear, because you're the one that fights our battle. You're the one that goes before us, Lord. Father, if we get out of our place, as we heard this morning, if we get out of our position, and all of us have had experiences with that, even after coming to know you and being born again of your Spirit, we've all had experiences at times when we've got out from behind your protection, and Lord, we've suffered the consequences. And Lord, we want to just stay girded behind your word, and Lord, we can be confident, we can be we can rest, and Lord, and you can have your way. Father, bless each and every one, and Lord, we love you so much. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Let's sing that song, He Counts the Stars. We'll invite our brother John to come up and lead us in a few songs here. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shores. He sees each sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear.